Blog Talk Radio.
First it played music for about a half of a minute, and then it just went no music, and then it said, your show will go live in 2 minutes. And now it just said, your show will go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, and then Do you see me? My number? You better go back to the old way. Do you see my phone number lit up? Because I'm still on. So I should hang up. Okay. Say you'll go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I don't hear your theme song either.
Testing.
Hurt. I heard it.
No, wait a minute.
I heard that too.
Testing.
Heard it.
I heard it.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
I heard it.
The music is on now.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew. Eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the 40 from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hart, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs and cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization. Tonight's topic, the destruction of statues of racism, discrimination, and injustice. Statues that represent racism, discrimination, and injustice are being taken down all over the United States and around the world. Is it long overdue? It's interesting that there appears to be a collective effort to remove statutes representing racism, discrimination, and injustice. Is it an organized effort, a coincidence, or did the idea simply catch fire? Is it? It is not an unusual response. It's not a new response from the New York Times. Just clip the conversation about this a statute. They said the Civil War was about treason and protecting the horrendous institution of slavery. And these monuments were mostly erected by white supremacists during the Jim Crow era to intimidate African Americans in their communities. So it's, you know, from history, because the Civil Rights Act, they had, well, I'm going to skip to this. The Fair Housing Act became the law on April 11th, 1968, preventing housing discrimination based on race, sex, and national origin, and religion. They say that was also the last legislation enacted during the Civil Rights era, right? Everybody know that was during the 60s and things like that, right? So that was about 103 years after the end of the Civil War, and which ended in 1865. And racism, discrimination, and injustice still raises its ugly head strong. The Civil War was not really fought against the horrendous institution of slavery as much as against the horrendous separation of the South from the Union. The Civil War did not bring an end to racism in the North or the South, as you can see today, because racism, discrimination, and injustice begins with an idea, a perception, which cannot be legislated. The South gets a bad rep, and they earned it. But the North is far from innocent. They had slaves too in the North. I know I'm not probably telling most people anything new, because it was a slave colony and a slave country. We know, right? So what about the horrendous institution of Jim Crow from Business Insider? For those who didn't know, long before the Civil War, Northern states had legal codes that promoted racial segregation and black disenfranchisement. As recently as 1964, a majority of New Yorkers thought the Civil Rights Movement had gone too far. You understand that? Civil rights. I want to sit where I want to sit on a bus. I should maybe go to the same school, equal opportunity in this country. Anyway, that was from New York polls from 1964 that they took. They said 6 million black people moved north and west between 1910 and 1970, seeking jobs, desiring education for their children, and fleeing racial terrorism. The rejuvenation of the Ku Klux Klan in the early 20th century promoted pseudoscientific racism known as eugenics. Funny, Bill Gates had the Eugenics Institute. Anyway, this is not about Bill Gates, but just so you know. Immigration restriction and racial segregation found support in pockets of the North, from California to Michigan, to Queens, New York, not only in the states of the old Confederacy, y'all. So the KKK was a visible and overt example of widespread Northern racism that remained covert and insidious over the course of the 20th century. Northern laws, policies, and policing strategies cemented Jim Crow, which started in the North way before the Civil War. Jim Crow is a system of laws that advanced segregation and black disenfranchisement. That means basically black people ain't getting nothing. They're going to be last to get anything if they get anything, and they're going to stop them, you know, discriminating. Basically, it's systematic discrimination against black people, right? I said, well, anyway, they said that Jim Crow began in the North, not in the South, as most Americans believe, long before the Civil War, as I just said, right? Northern states like New York, Massachusetts, Ohio, New Jersey, and good old Pennsylvania, which I thought was supposed to be the Quaker state, promoted black people's racial segregation and political disenfranchisement. So you're not going to get what you should be getting out of this, the political system, the economic system, and whatever. The South found an anti-slavery loophole from the conversation. Ironically, white leaders found a solution to the 13th Amendment, which ended slavery in the United States in 1865 by exploiting the provision allowing slavery and involuntary servitude to continue as a punishment for crime. I think that's still on the books in terms of slavery. They took advantage of a penal system predating the Civil War and used during the Reconstruction. So what did that do? Okay, well, that gave them a new form of control with this thing called the convict release system. And here's how it worked. Black men and sometimes women and children were arrested and convicted for crimes crimes were defined in the thing called the Black Codes that stated laws like criminalizing petty offenses and aimed at keeping free people tied to their former owners, right? Plantations and farms. The most sinister crime was vagrancy. That's like you just walking around, you got no job, you just bumming it out, right? I said, but imagine you're a slave in the South and you've been freed and you want to get up off the plantation. You got no horse, you got no buggy, you're not catching a train or no buses. I mean, chances, you have no way of getting the things that you need. So that's a lot of folk that they could say are vagrants, which brought a large fine that few blacks could afford to pay. You can't pay the fine, you go to jail, work your fine off, right? Black commons were leased to private companies. Sound familiar? Typically, industries profiteering from the region's untapped natural resources. As many as 200,000 black Americans were forced into backbreaking labor in coal mines, turpentine factories, and lumber camps. They lived in squalid conditions, real nasty, demeaning, dirty, filthy conditions. Chained, starved, beaten, flogged, and sexually violated. Sounds like slavery to me. They died by the thousands from injury, disease, and torture. Sounds a lot like slavery. For both the state and private corporations, the opportunities for profit were enormous. Anyway, for the state, the convict lease generated revenue and provided a powerful tool to subjugate African Americans and intimidate them into behaving in accordance with the new social order. It also greatly reduced state expenses in housing and caring for convicts. For the corporation, convict release provided droves of cheap, disposable laborers who could be worked to the extremes of human cruelty. So they worked people to death, basically. Every southern state leased convicts, and at least 9/10 of all leased convicts were black. 9/10 of all leased convicts were black. 9/10, 9 out of 10 were black, they said, in reports of the period. The term convicts and Negroes are used interchangeably. That's how many black folks were convicted back in those days. And you can imagine that because they had a lot of slaves down south, so they had a lot of convicts. Of those black Americans caught in the convict release system, few were men like this guy named Henry Nesbitt. He murdered 9 other black men in Georgia. But the vast majority were like Green Cottonhand, a central figure in black men's book. The guy wrote a book about this shit, who was snatched into the system after being charged with vagrancy. Hey, you got a job? You working on where you work at, boy? You ain't got no job, just wandering around begging. They locked him up. Where you live at? So you can't live on a plantation. He don't want to stay there. He don't want to work there. God don't want him on a plantation if he don't want to work. But he's returned after being charged with pregnancy, fined. can't pay the fine because, of course, that slave does not have any money. All he has is dust in his pockets, if he had pockets. The principal difference between slavery and convict leasing was laborers were only temporary price to take, but they worked them to death. So life is a temporary thing. So you work the people to death. What does it matter? It's forced labor, and it doesn't matter. Temporary, a slave is no better than being a slave for the rest of your life. On one hand, this meant that after their fines have been paid off, they would potentially be let free. Potentially, that's a trick word right there. Right? Such convicts were viewed as disposable and frequently worked beyond human endurance. So I guess they were free to go somewhere and die and drop dead. If we learn anything from that history, it is to eradicate images of hate and oppression, not to glorify them. A history warped by the white victors of racism isn't what our country needs to perpetuate. So from provocative sort. That would make many of the forefathers of this country white victors of racism. Because a lot of them were slave owners, a lot of them perpetuated the racist ideology, supported it, henceforth. The Declaration of Independence was not written for our ancestors, the black slaves, the African slaves, the indigenous slaves. That was not written for them, because that word freedom was in that declaration, and those people were not free. So, based on all the history of the United States, and it's not to slam the United States, it's just a reality that we almost come to terms with. I mean, in order to move forward, we have to deal with reality, right? So the United States of America was formed by the 13 European colonies. They were a predominantly English-speaking nation, as evidenced by documents like the Declaration of Independence, statutes, educational and literature documents. They're all written in English, right? That makes English the unofficial and the official language of the United States. Europeans are therefore the dominant group, and English is the dominant language in America, as we see. Many immigrants learned to speak English upon entering the country. Some were forced to learn the English language and culture. And I guess you can guess who those people were. They named America America. It was their America. History confirms that they were not willing to share, only to dominate, and should I say to exterminate, Race and racism is perpetuated and maintained to benefit the dominant so-called race or ethnic group in the North as well as the South and the East as well as the West. It falsely allows racists to validate the enslavement, exploitation, and genocide of other so-called races by creating a racial hierarchy. Flags. The Confederate flag is no more a symbol of racism and tyranny than the red, white, and blue flag of the North. That is evidenced by the laws in the North and the South, sanctioning slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, discrimination. All the, you know, the real estate redlining, and that's and discriminatory banking and things like that, you know. Two flags, they are two flags of one brotherhood. The Civil War was simply infighting over a disagreement between racist peoples of the same origin and ideology. Okay? That wasn't a fight between races and non-racists. It's just, I don't know. Seems like some people think of it that way. Like the North is the good guys, the South is the bad guys in terms of this whole racist thing. Not true. Both of them were racist. South wanted to succeed And that's the way that went. Statues. Statues of Stonewall Jackson, General Lee, Abraham Lincoln, and General Ulysses S. Grant. Mount Rushmore are historic representations of the United States of America. And I think Trump said something like that. Something, some white folks are saying that. That's true. That's real. It was their country. Right? Stonewall Jackson was a cruel slave master that killed many fellow Americans and blacks during the Civil War. And you know, they say he, even though he's from the South, he was a bad mamma jamma. All right? General Lee led the Southern Army against the North in many victories. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves to save the Union, stating if he didn't have to free the slaves to save the Union, he wouldn't. Ulysses S. Grant led the Northern Army against the South's desires to maintain slavery, right? Achieve autonomy by separation from the Union. So this war fought because the South wanted to maintain slavery. That's the basis of their economy. In fact, it was the basis, the foundation of the Northern economy. All right. So it wasn't just the South made the South strong. Slavery made the North strong also. Do your research. It's not a research paper right here. I'm just trying to spread some knowledge around these, why people might want to tear these statues down. And why they're up there in the first place after the Civil War. Anyway, mind you, a black person could get lynched in the South or the North. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, both slave owners, helped put this thing together, right? George Washington, the leader of the army, right? General, right? Fought off the Redcoats, the English, right? Lincoln kept this thing together, right? The Civil War, oh no, y'all can't separate. We ain't having that. So we had to break the South. We got to free the slaves, and that should all hurt them, right? Or we going to war. Teddy Roosevelt simply continued to perpetuate systemic racism in America from 1901 to 1909. He was president. He believed whites to be more advanced. He's also known for the wholesale slaughter of animals in Africa. He's what they call a great hunter. Which is, you kill an animal just for pleasure, something wrong with that. You're supposed to, if you kill one of them, you're supposed to be using that for your survival. But that's another story. From history, on February 13, 1905, President Theodore Roosevelt delivers a stirring speech to the New York City Republican Club. Roosevelt had just won the election, right? And he was, stated as saying something like this. In his argument for racial equality, Roosevelt used what they call the rising tide raises all ships metaphor, stating that if morality and thrift among the colored men can be raised, then those same virtues among whites, already assumed to be more advanced, would rise to an even higher degree. At the same time, he warned that the debasement of the blacks will, in the end, carry with it the debasement of the whites. Roosevelt's solution to the race problem in 1905 was to proceed slowly toward social and economic equality. I don't think them brothers fighting on wars was proceeding slowly with them bullets and those bombs whizzing by their head. He cautioned against imposing racial changes in government policy and instead suggested a gradual adjustment in the attitudes of whites toward ethnic minorities. He referred to white Americans as the forward race, forward front, right? The front race, whose responsibility it was to raise the status of minorities through training the backward racist in industrial efficiency, political capacity, and domestic morality. This coming from a guy who descended from a group of peoples who almost exterminated the indigenous people they came in contact with in North America. Thus, he claimed whites bore the burden of preserving the high civilization wrought out by its forefathers. Woo! That's a hell of a statement. And if you don't know history, I guess that would blindside a whole lot of people. Anyway, fun provocative thought. Rather we like it or not, these monuments are historical representations of American history. American history is not without blemish. Rather we like it or not, racism, murdering, raping, torture, lying personalities that they may be. This is their country. They took it. They are some of the men who formed and maintained it for their European brethren, not for the indigenous people of these lands who have all but been exterminated. Not for the slave who they continue to keep their foot on the neck of their descendants, not for the Asian, and not for the Latino. Rather we like it or not, Christopher Columbus is a hero to some, despite being a murderer, rapist, and torturer of the indigenous peoples he encountered. He actually depopulated the island of that I forget the name of the people. They were interwoven into American society as names of streets, Columbus Boulevard, Jefferson, Hamilton, districts, Washington, D.C., on legal tender, Washington, slave owner, on the dollar, Lincoln, right? If he could, he would not free the slaves. If he could save the Union without freeing the slaves, he would. Lincoln on the $5 bill, I think he's on a penny too. Alexander Hamilton, slave owner, he's on the $10 bill. Benjamin Franklin, slave owner, and became an abolitionist. I guess he changed his mind about slavery. Does that mean he let his slaves go and helped them build houses and earn money and something like that? Anyway, he's on a $100 bill. Educational institutions, Benjamin Franklin High, we had in Philadelphia. It had a William Penn High. William Penn had 12 slaves, which I thought all the Quakers, what's up with that? Anyway, George Washington High, a hospital of Thomas Jefferson in Philadelphia, and shall we rename Pennsylvania? It's a lot of stuff. The dominant ethnic group tends to support the ethnic group that is dominant over the ethnic groups, over other ethnic groups. Some or many may believe that other ethnic groups are inferior, subordinate, beneath them, and we may never be able to change their perception. Those overt physical representations of racism allow them to express themselves and allows us to see them for who they truly are, past and present. If you are offended by the images of these infamous historical figures, let me remind you that the images are everywhere, omnipresent, interwoven into this society. We were oppressed, murdered, lynched, and raped by the peoples and governments of the North and South, East and West. The Civil War was fought to preserve the Union, not black folks. Racism is not a thing of the past or exclusively Southern, and it certainly did not end in 1865 or June 19th. That is why black people continue to be discriminated against, murdered, and lynched, as evidenced by strange fruit. That's people hanging from trees, just in case you don't know. Emmett Till, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Walter Scott, Tamir Rice, Orlando Castillo, Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, Eric Gardner, Sandra Brand, Rayshard Brooks, and many more. That is why other ethnic groups were discriminated against. This was never meant to be our country or our thing. That is why some of their heroes are our villains, our monsters and antagonists, their dreams, our nightmares, and their pleasure, our pain. This is the monster we want to become a part of, the beast we wish to tame. America the Beautiful actually has an ugly, twisted past that has left her wealthy and spiritually disfigured. We have struggled to become a part of the beast who has attempted to devour us every step of the treacherous way. Still, we demand her respect. America has always been the concept of its European ancestors, for we would not have conceived or consented to such a real life nightmare. She has claimed to have adopted us, elevating us from the footstool of a nation to a seat at the king's table, under the same flag that oppressed us in the past, as too in the present. If we are to destroy physical representations of racism, discrimination, and injustice, we'll be shredding and destroying images forever. Racism, discrimination, and injustice are ideas and behaviors that cannot be dismantled, burned, or shredded. Destroying these images sends a strong message, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. Statues are physical manifestations of those ideas and behaviors. Eliminating this madness is the true challenge. Preventing it from prevailing and impacting in the life of any man will test everyone. When the U.S. invaded Iraq, they took the statue of Saddam Hussein down, right? The people there, we have a caller. 1 minute. The people there were trying to pull the statue down. U.S. Marines helped them pull it down. After World War II, which lasted from 1939 to 1945, there were no public statues of Adolf Hitler in Germany, no monuments honoring the valor of the Nazi soldiers. It's illegal to display Nazi imagery in Germany. Now that is a strong message regarding these historic monsters of racism, discrimination, and injustice. What's up, America? Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing, Caller?
All right.
Good teacher tonight. But one thing I just want to say that, you can't have any Nazi statue of Hitler or anything like that. Yeah, they tearing down the statue, but that still means there aren't any Nazis. There still means that there's no white supremacy. Just because you tear down a piece of stone doesn't mean that there are people that still have their feelings, have those feelings, and gonna keep on marching on to that beat. You know, they gonna still have these laws.
That's correct.
They still
gonna
have these laws.
It's an idea. You can't legislate
the idea. But the idea is in the person's mind and heart.
That's right. That's correct.
Forget
That's why
stone.
You can't legislate it.
Forget a stone.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stone's a manifestation of those ideas.
And let me tell you something. Going back to that flag, you know, like, okay. like I kept keep on saying, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this, and people sit there talk about, oh, the red, white, blue, and all that. That represents a system. I talk about ideology. Ideology that had never been the best friend of the black man in America. I'm sorry, you know, y'all could fight for the flag and do whatever for the flag, but what has the flag did for the black community as a whole, as a collective? Oh, it was great to individuals, but as a collective, I don't think so. You know, and so they went from lynching, I'm moving on to another, they went from lynching to shooting, all in the name of America, democracy. And when you say American democracy, you talk about a system.
Right.
Their system.
Oh, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Why do you think that there's this, people identify the North as the good guys and the South as the bad guys in the Civil War?
Neither one were good guys. The North didn't care about slavery. Like you said, they cared about, see, Lincoln, I forgot the president before Lincoln, they wanted to become an industrial nation like England. The England was doing, having machinery, they were modernized and becoming industrialists, while the United States was still an arrogant society, a farming community, and what have you. And the North want to be in industrialists. But the South wanted to maintain, for they'll make a lot of money off that cotton and tobacco. And well, we were picking in those days. They still are picking. They still got cotton plantation in Mississippi. And dudes still picking cotton today in 2020. But it was a war over economics. You know, if the South would have been a farming nation, you know, but the North won and we became an industrial, now technical nation, an industrial nation, more machinery, you know, the making of the automobile and what have you. So and the flying machine, right? It was really about over economics, you know. And by the South losing, they had to dance to the North, become industrialized. I mean, they still have farming communities, but it wasn't as big as it used to be. And that's what basically was. And slavery was part of that arrogant society, you know.
So why did they get the white hat, though? That's my question. Why does the North get the white hat?
They won.
So, I mean,
they won.
So they get the white hat for that?
Whoever wins the war writes their own history. Whoever wins any type of war, they control the narrative.
Okay, well, I mean, listen, just looking at the narrative, if you just read about, you know, I mean, I guess if you think, I guess if somebody keeps writing they oppose slavery and things like that, you start to believe it. But, like, you know, a lot of people didn't know Jim Crow in the North.
The North didn't care about slavery. They could get too sick. About slavery, you know, and I'm trying to tell you that the only reason why it became a war, and that's why southern states, with the first state was South Carolina, seceded from the country, from the Union, and the other states followed. South Carolina was the first state. It was all about, you know, destroying their economy, their way of life, and we were a part of their economy, a big part.
The total part of the economy.
Really, you know, so that's what that was all about. They didn't give two cents about slavery. It was about destroying their way of economy. If you don't have the resources, the goods to ship around the world like they were doing, they couldn't make no money. So they were dependent on the North, and the North, with the reconstruction, with rebuilding and everything, and becoming more of an industrialized nation.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. Statue of Andrew Jackson, right? And you down south. I know you probably seen some of these stuff. Okay, statue of Andrew Jackson, offensive or not?
I really don't care because, like I said, you know, if you're going to tear it down, tear it down. But tearing down a stone is not going to prevent racism.
Right. It's not going to solve our problem, right?
It's not going to solve it. By tearing down that statue, you know, are we going to have a low-income housing? Tearing down that statue, are we going to get rid of homeless? Tearing down that statue, are we going to get rid of racism? Tear down that statue. Is that going to stop cops from shooting us in the back?
Actually, some people have been injured.
Is that going to be equality? Nah. And like I told somebody the other day, I forgot who I was talking to. Even though we're tired of it, but we'll never get equality in the United States of America the way this system is set up. Like I said, it's a system. We'll never have equality. And I know people jump down my throat and say, oh, you're pessimistic, you're too old and all that. I'm telling you, the United States have a very negative history when it comes to equality. Hell, they didn't want to get equality to their old women. They want women to stay in the kitchen to be barefooted and knocked up.
Right.
You know, so if they don't want to give it to their own kind, remember, they never thought of us as human beings and citizens. And you know what, Carl, in 2020, there are still parts in the South that still practice Jim Crow.
That's right, because it's an idea.
And like a white guy will get less time than a black guy for the same crime.
Yeah, I don't think that's just relegated to the South, though. But go ahead.
Oh, it is the North, yeah. That's the country. That's the United States of America.
Right.
That's the new Jim Crow laws. It's our penal system. By tearing down the statute, is that going to correct the criminal justice system? So, y'all can tear down the statue if you want. But y'all looking at, to me, it's just another distraction to the real issue. That's all. We tear a few statues down, and maybe those niggas will stop bothering us. Maybe they get out the streets.
Oh, you think it's pacification, allowing people to tear statues down? That what you just said?
Say what?
You just said that's pacification to allow them to tear a couple of statues down, to let them let off some steam, basically.
Yeah, the pacifiers. That's all that is. It's the same thing, Carter, when Obama became president. You had black folks out there, damn minds, and you know I usually don't cuss on the radio. You have black folks out there, minds. They're picking living minds, talk about there's no more racism. We have arrived. Man, it got worse. And just another way, let me tell you something. There was a conference in New York. I forgot what the name it was. It was in 1968, 69. And a question was asked at this conference. It was a Democratic conference, too. They asked, why are black folks in America so angry? Why are they burning up the cities? We don't have any idea. And I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was Humphrey. I don't know if it was Robert Kennedy. I don't know which. Somebody said, right, well, the Democratic Party is always, I don't know if it was Mayor Lindsey. I don't know if it was the mayor, governor, or presidential candidate. Just those names pop up because they was like out front, white guys out front. You know, it said because the Democratic Party, the Democratic and the Republican parties are always making promises to the black community and never keeping them. Of course, they're outraged. Well, guess what? Let's forward it 50 years later, or 55 years later. It's the same thing. It's the same. They make all of these promises. That's why there was a brother, I forgot who it was, that said, you know what? Voting, you need to really focus on the local and state level, and where you have more power to send people that are going to represent you. Because really, we haven't been sending people to different positions, political position that represent us. They might say one thing, they get in there and see a whole different ball game. So that's why I'm so in tune to having our own party. But again, you know, will we have enough? Because we have a lot of black folks that are assimilated into other cultures. You know, will that unite black folks to have our own party so we can have our own agenda? And with no politicians coming in our community, they better be singing the song that we can understand.
Hey, okay. Hey, I got another caller, Kenny. You want to hold on, or I'm going to let this caller in right here?
You let the caller in, man.
Oh, I did. 6457, welcome to the Rock of the
Yeah,
Soul.
Carlton, what's good?
What's happening, my brother?
Yeah, this Naj in Atlanta. We didn't talk the
few times,
brother?
Man.
I'm good, bro. Good content today. Like the topic, like where you're going. Just so you know, right now in Stone Mountain, Georgia, there are 500 black armed protesters marching in Stone Mountain as a counter to where the KKK typically marches. Just so y'all know, that's going on right now.
Oh, okay. Man.
Yes, sir. Wow. Salute to those brothers and sisters
Breaking
out
news.
There. They looking
Breaking
good.
News.
They looking real good out there. But getting into the topic, I think sometimes we get the question in a way to where we don't get to the right answers. So the thing with Germany, it wasn't about them getting rid of Nazi regalia or not putting, you know, Nazis in statues on their public square. That wasn't about getting rid of racism. That was their state saying, we do not support this. So that's why it's important. So when you see these young folks attacking these statues here, no, that's not going to get rid of racism. No, that's not going to change the dynamics of how we live. But it says, you will not disrespect me to this extent. Right. And a lot of these young folks have been locked up over this. A lot of young folks are catching charges and getting beat up really bad over this. But they just decided the line is here and y'all will not do this. So I salute the young folks for doing it, man, because at a certain point, when you look up the Daughters of the Confederacy, these people who came up with these statues, they started building these things during the Reconstruction and then during the Civil Rights Movement. So they put these up as a counter to when black folks were pushing forward for more more freedom within this country. So these aren't accidental statues to where they're honoring people who committed treason. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then when we go to that Civil War, always remember, when you want to know anything about the Civil War, the first place to start is go to the Articles of Secession from each state. Each state clearly lays out why they were leaving, what their grievances were, and why they were upset. And the reason was slavery. The South and the states who were so-called Confederate states, they wanted to keep slavery going because that was the engine for which they lived off of. Raw material,
right.
The rice, the indigo, the cotton, everything that was produced in the South was done what? Shipped up north to the already made factories where they had child labor and every other abuse of humanity you want to think of to produce the products and then ship off to Europe to sell to market. That was how they made their money. Now, when you look at the Emancipation Proclamation, what did Lincoln do? He freed slaves in states where he had no control and didn't free them in states where he did.
Right.
So in Confederate states, he's saying the slaves are free. Well, you don't have any control there. Y'all at war. And in the states where he had control, he didn't free them. So that lets you know what type of dude he was. He said, if I could preserve the Union without freeing slaves, I would. If I could preserve it by freeing slaves, I would. His main goal was preserving the Union. And if you go across the world anywhere right now, if you find any state that secedes from a government, guess what? That government's going to declare war on that state. Ain't nobody about to let you leave because you decided you don't like a law or rules or whatever. You're going to have a fight. Like that's just how that goes. But the Confederate states, man. Right. There were more millionaires in Mississippi during the period of enslavement than any time in the history of Mississippi. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
This is one of the biggest wealth-building areas in the world. Now, when have you ever said that about Mississippi besides enslavement? Never. But during that period, there was a lot of money raised because slavery was highly lucrative. So that's what they were fighting for. So we can't get confused about it. Now, to talk about how raggedy the South was for wanting to keep slavery, that doesn't mean that the North was good. It just means that they were on the opposing side of even worse people. That's all that means. As Malcolm said, long as you south of that Canadian border, you south. So don't get it confused. So I don't say that to say that the North is good. I just say that to say, remember, the battle was a stalemate until when? What Du Bois called the coming of the Lord, when that 170,000 black men started marching with those guns, when they armed those black men and changed the tide of the war. See, they try to present it like, well, these other people gave you your freedom. No, folks went out there on the battlefield, laid down their lives, were given no quarter, no terms of surrender if they lost the battle or if they were, you know, in a bad situation. These were people who were tortured, abused. There was no POW, no situation. But these folks was out there because they wanted to kill those Southern plantation owners and racists who were fighting to keep slavery alive. And those black men and women, because black women were behind the lines, giving medical care, cooks, all the things that you need behind the lines to keep things rolling. They were there, you know what I mean? And they need to be saluted more. But getting to the main topic of what you're talking about, now get out your way. But again, Carlton, salute to you for the show. What we're seeing from white folks right now is white folks are willing to give black people everything that they're not asking for, but are not entertaining the things black folks are asking for, which is systemic change of racism, which would be reparations, which would be getting rid of these unfair hiring practices, unfair sentencing, like the brother just brought up a couple of minutes ago. All of the things that black people have to go through within life, those are the things white folks are scared of getting rid of and are trying their best. And y'all probably play spades, so y'all gonna understand this. They want to walk a jack across the board and keep talking about, you know, giving out statements. Oh, we support BLM. Racism is wrong. They'll say those type of things, but in action, what we're seeing right now is very lacking. But salute to the kids, man. They out here ready to burn this shit down as we've done for previous generation upon generation upon generation. And this country deserves it. And since it's July 4th, please, everybody, read that great lecture from Frederick Douglass, which we all should read every July 4th. What to a slave does your July 4th mean? Where he lays out everything about the hypocrisy of these people we're dealing with here, who want to bust their fireworks today and talk about independence while they, what, imperialists messing up other nations across the globe and got their boot and knee on our neck over here. So it is what it is.
Wow.
Hey, you know, Carlton, man. You know, I don't play when we come to this, man. You know what I mean? It got to be said.
That's right. Hey, I appreciate it. Were you finished, Nas?
Yeah, I'm finished, bro. I'm cool.
Okay, I got all I want to let on. You've been holding on for a long time. I'm going to leave y'all hot. 0036. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
Hello? What's up, Q?
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad somebody called from the South. I was just thinking that, you know, a lot of people up here don't know exactly what those statues mean to them down the South. We got this one perspective up here, and we don't know exactly, you know, the perspective from down South. You know, when things were getting organized down there, when they were putting up those statues, you don't know how the how it was affecting the black people that lived down there at that time, you know, and the pressures that they felt, you know what I mean? And the way they were treated at the time. And that's how we can say those things like, oh, that's not going to change anything. But they've been waiting for this change since those statues got there. You know what
before,
I mean? They were being affected.
Before they got there, they were protesting, putting up those statues. This is
right.
Nothing new.
Exactly.
Before.
Right. That's what I'm saying, all of that. That's what I'm saying, all of that. So for us to say that that don't mean anything, I think that means a great deal to the descendants of those people that are living down there, taking down those statues that their ancestors had to put up with those, you know, all the shenanigans that went along with those statues. And at the time when they put those statues up, I believe the KKK was marching in the streets all over the country. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we're marching all over the streets, all over the country.
And what, right? And what, right?
Yeah, right.
I stole your bike. This right here, I'm riding it down the street. Like, yeah, and what?
Right.
And what?
And we putting up these statues of our treasonous past, you know? And they couldn't do anything. They really couldn't do anything at the time. Now, 100 years later, whatever it is, now they're able to do something, and I think it's a good thing. It's a message that like the man said, it's not being supported the way it was.
Right.
And it's going to take some time for those other changes to take place, you know? It's going to take time. And that's what I want to say about that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so this whole thing about America, you know, I think basically the truth just need to come out. We got to start with the truth, because you can't move forward, you know, without the truth. You know, if I'm moving forward on the lie, then I'm making decisions not based on the truth, then what's going to be the outcome of that? You understand what I'm saying? So I think we need to start spreading the word. Everybody
right.
Said, do your own research. Read. Learn. Do some work. It doesn't hurt me. Everybody got these cell phones now. Everybody can start educating themselves to some extent. It's not like you need to go to college or you even need to go to the library, but it helps to go to the library also. I'm not going to say don't go to the library. Don't be no books. You know, but I mean, but you could get a quick synopsis of a lot of things just on your cell phone. You know, I've heard people got cell phones cost like a couple of $100s. And like, not just computers. Come on now, use them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to look at girls all the time, you know what I'm saying, or videos all the time.
So take down that IG, them IG models for a minute and look up the substance. And keeping it a buck on them libraries, you're paying for them anyway. It's coming out your taxes, so go on in there in that library, man.
That's right. Yeah, you know, so we can move forward strong with some strength, you know. The more the merrier, the stronger, you know, so...
Yes,
you know, because you know, they cut one down, 10 should pop up in its place. Not like back in the day, they shoot one person or two people and the whole movement got. None of that.
Or jail them.
Or
jail. Jail one or two people and the movement's gone.
Right. None of that. If everybody knows, everybody has the information, everybody's helping everybody, that it won't die like that.
But see, Carlton, I don't know, Carlton. I don't know about that. You got people, for example, I hate to get off topic, But there's an image in this country that everybody knows is wrong, even white folks. Above black preachers still hang up that image in their pulpit or churches. So, or what I'm saying that to say this, that, yeah, people could know. People could learn it and everything, but will they practice it? Will they do it? Like I said before, we're so assimilated to the other culture. We want to be like them. We idolize them. We keep up with them. You know, we want to be friends with them. So, I don't know. I don't know. They might get to learn it, the real deal and the real history and everything, but that doesn't mean it's going to change their ways. It doesn't mean it's going to change their behavior or change their thinking of oneself.
That's true, Kenny. You know what? But you know what? If you don't have the information, you're not making no change. You got, at least you have the information.
I'm saying you have to have the information, and have the information is necessary. Not going to make some people change.
That's true. I know you can relate that to your own life.
Right, but in due time, none of us know what we know today by happenstance. It took a lot of time and years of work and reading and listening and learning to figure it out. And you got to give other people that same ability, you know, to really get to it. And when we talk about this for real, this system was built, what, over centuries. And it's going to take centuries to take it down. It's just everybody doing their piece and progressing and pushing until things change. You can't expect everything to happen overnight. That doesn't mean change isn't happening. There's going to come a day to where you're going to walk into a black church and you won't see that image anymore. They're going to have an awakening. And they're going to see, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm creating an identity with the deity from other people as opposed to with myself. They're going to figure that out at some point, and that's going to change, and you're going to see that group become a little more radical, as they've done in the past. Because if we keep it in the buck, man, some of the great radicals we've ever created, from Denmark Vesey to Monroe Trotter to, you know, some of these people, James Cone, some of these people grew up in the church and still were able to get around to it and become what they were. So, you know, just give folks that time, man. I understand what you're saying, but we also gotta recognize that we are fighting an enemy who has a worldwide mass media machine that colonizes people's minds. And to expect people to wake out of that instantly is unrealistic. We got to give people the time, and we got to put in the effort to give people, you know, to get where they need to be, man. You know what I'm saying?
They don't blow
this girl up. I get your point, though. It's a long battle, brother. It's a long battle.
Yeah, and we've been fighting for hundreds of years, too. This just started 10 years ago or yesterday. We've been fighting this battle for a couple hundred years. So...
Yep.
Again,
yep.
You know, we look like we every time we take a step forward, we take two step back.
Sometimes that happens, and then sometimes we get flashpoints, like right now, to where if we keep it in a book.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, bro.
Look at our educational system in black neighborhoods. Now, you got black superintendents. You got black principals. You got black teachers, and their education has not improved at all in our schools. Why? Because
they're teaching and run the same system as the other culture. No, let me interrupt.
And they know. Now, and he's an educator.
Okay, bro, hold on.
Hold up, Kenny, hold up.
I allowed you to make sure we stay on point. No. But think about what you said. Now, expand your scope and look at all of America and look at the education system. The education system in America is in the 50s globally. It's not doing well in the white community either. So when we look at things with our lens and we only look at the black part, we miss the bigger picture, which is what? America's education system is substandard, lackluster. Japan is number two. Japan is kicking our ass in education. China is in the teens. They're kicking our ass in education. So when you look at these things, don't only look at them through a black lens. Look at the whole of America, and you'll realize sometimes the black part of it is just a symptom of what America is dealing with. So in this period we're in now, which is what I would call a flashpoint, where you got the coronavirus and a country so greedy and so intent on not taking care of its citizens that it couldn't prepare properly or treat people properly while other nations are getting back up to speed and getting back to rolling. Like, sometimes we miss the forest for the trees because we're so busy looking at, you know, how dire our situation is. We don't realize that globally this country is in decline. Other countries are on the rise. We're telling people the immigrants don't come here. Other countries are bringing the best and brightest minds to their country to figure out the next tech things, next military things, next finance things, while this country is coasting on 250 years of free labor, stolen Indian land, and declaring themselves the best. Is that reality? Once you start looking at things globally, you might start to say, wait a minute, we may be on a sinking ship who doesn't even know that it's sinking yet. A reality star president, a country so close to being broke that it gave a $1,200 stimulus package, one-time offer. Canada is giving $2,000 a month. France doing $1,400 a month for 6 months. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to expand it sometimes and look at the total and say, wait a minute, we ain't just doing bad just because we're black in America. Sometimes you're doing bad just because you're in America.
In America.
And it's the empire in trouble.
So we've been sold out. We've been sold again, huh?
Man.
That's what you just said. We've been sold again.
I try to be a nice guy, but something that most people won't tell most Americans, it's a lot of white folks that still think they're white, but they're not. They've been discarded and thrown away 20 years ago, but they still think they're part of white America, but don't understand that the higher-ups don't give a damn about them and threw them away a while ago. But
true that.
They don't know that because they think their white skin is some kind of...
they're looking through that God kind of lens. Right. They're looking at that.
And they still doesn't have that skin. White skin.
What do you say, Kenny?
Yep. They still
rather
have
their white skin. If they'll say, if they had a choice to be the black billionaire or white poor guy, they going to pick the white guy all the 9 times out of 10.
And they're going to pay for that. Now, they're going to pay for that. Now, you look up single-parent homes, biggest rising group of single-parent homes. You're going to see single white females. You look up health outcomes and bad health outcomes. You're going to see rural white America, suburban white America, terrible health outcomes. Lowest birth rate on earth, Europe and America and the Americas, the white population. If you can't replace yourself, your group is really in trouble. See, when you start looking at things through that lens, as opposed to always looking at, you know, what they've done to us, you start looking at how they're faring globally, yeah, ain't so good.
That's a result of the hierarchy that's worldwide. These guys play ball. They play ball. Their playground is the world, not the state. They don't have the boundary that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're selling out. Everything.
Right.
They're not even looking at this thing like we look. We're looking at it like the United States. And they're saying the United States, but only when they're dealing with the United States. And then they go somewhere else and do something else with somebody else. They don't really care about the U.S. But they showed their colors when they moved all the industries out of the country. You know, they say, hell, I don't care if y'all eat or not. I'm taking my industry over here with these folks over here. That's what that's saying.
Right? Facts. They decided it was better to make more profit in other countries than it was to make sure that their sons, daughters, nephews, and everything else had a living wage job over here.
Right.
So when you see them do that to people, and remember, whiteness is a term that can attach to somebody. They can also take it away. When the Irish, Italian, Jews, all those people came over here and were going into New York and becoming American citizens and all that, the thing that they got that was most beneficial was what? Whiteness. It gave them whiteness, allowed them to assimilate into society and get jobs that normally wouldn't have been qualified for.
Right.
Now you see that starting to shed back a little bit. They looking at those people like, well, don't give a damn about you. If you make X amount of dollars a year, they don't care.
Right.
And now these people who've been bamboozled by a reality TV showman, a con man, they think that dude care about them.
Right.
Sadly, they're mistaken.
So they can't read? I mean, I don't understand it. Like, can't they see? Like, what is... Are they blind? Like, what is blinding them from seeing this? I don't understand it. Like, that's I don't get that part about them, really. Even with the white skin, you got to be some. I know there's some white guys out there that don't like it. I know that. You know, there's some white people out there that say this is a farce. But you know, like the
sorry,
people
man.
You're talking
it's a,
about,
it's a lot of people busting fireworks off in the neighborhood. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
going on here too. But I'm going to say one thing about the fireworks. I'm going to say one thing about it. They've been doing it ever since the riots. Every day.
Yep.
You know.
And the funny thing is, the people who destroyed the most property were what? Angry white leftists who are loaded up with student loan debt, can't find a job that really meets the things that they're qualified to do and have to settle for lower paying jobs, and right-wing libertarians who also didn't vote for 45, don't like how things are going and are upset.
Right.
Those are people who tore up the most property. Most of the Black Lives Matter people you saw out there were what? Trying to tell them not to tear up stuff because they knew they would get blamed for it. Now, of course, some of the hood came out and got some stuff, and I salute them for it because honestly, Stokely Carmichael, a.k.a. Kwame Ture, said most of the legislation we've got in this country was after we burned them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, it's
that's
the same.
True.
So it is what it is.
Yeah. That speaks to what you're going to give, then they can get away with giving you. So.
Right.
They're going to give you as little as possible.
Which is why
they're
so scared of the reparations conversation.
Right.
Black folks had the best case for reparations on the planet. And that's the case that scares the hell out of every politician out there. You bring up reparations, folks start get that lemon booty. Booty get tight. They don't want to talk about it. Cause that's the thing that scares them more than anything. Because black folks got the best case. Nobody else has a case like us.
So they rebuilt Japan.
Right.
Now, that don't make sense.
Right.
I mean, it's unfair. I guess to say it does make sense if you are dominant. I'm gonna rebuild the people that I want to rebuild that I can get the most out of. So I guess that's what that's about. We weren't worth it to them. You know, they're still looking at us like, oh, there's my dog, my cat, and my nigga. All right, so I can't do nothing with them.
Or they're scared of empowered black people who've done nothing but strive and succeed and push back, with all the obstacles thrown in front of black people. So the last thing they want to do is make sure black people are operating on equal footing. That scares
that's
the
right.
hell out of them.
Because they might bite back.
And to your point about Japan getting reparations, think about this. Germany has paid out over $89 billion in reparations to Israel that built their infrastructure. It built everything from their electric grid to their navy to their banking system and everything else. Reparations from Germany to Israel. And Israeli people who could prove that they had family lineage that lived through the Holocaust, they could sue personally and get a personal lawsuit. And that's how Israel became a world power. So when you talk about that stuff, you can see why they would be so scared of doing it. But yeah, look at anybody out there, Google that. Make sure my number is correct, because as of right now, I'm saying over $89 billion. Make sure that number is correct, but I'm pretty sure that number is accurate. But yeah, That's how Israel became what it is right now.
Wow. So what we about to get? Lunch programs and more food stamps?
Well, they better quit playing. For anybody who wants to look at the real numbers, look up Sandy Darity. He's the head of economics at Duke University. Good brother. His book just dropped, From Here to Equality. He lays out the reparations argument in that book.
What's his name?
A solid book. Check it out. Sandy Darity.
What's his name?
Sandy Darity, D-A-R-I-T-Y. He's the head of economics at Duke University. Now, you know, if you're the head of econ at Duke University as a black man, you're a serious, serious scholar. So, yeah, his book is called From Here to Equality. He lays out the reparations argument.
Wow. Oh, this has been a very informative night tonight. That's those firecrackers going off down there. I guess firecrackers in Georgia have always been legal, though, right?
Right.
Always been legal. Yeah,
It's in my neighborhood.
Do they have neighborhoods like Philly, Kenny? Is it like that, or they go farther apart?
No, it's right there in front of my house.
No, I'm saying the neighborhood. Are they anybody close together? Nah, you did too, ain't you? You in Georgia?
No. They don't live on top of each other down here.
Oh, okay.
Everybody has a yard, they have a front yard and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just got a couple of neighbors who letting it go, boy. They celebrate. So why
what
playing,
do they celebrate?
Exactly.
What are they celebrating?
While they playing, we learn them. It's all good.
Yeah.
Go get me started. You don't see me out there.
But I promise y'all going to see a lot tomorrow about Stone Mountain, man. I'm looking at it. It's at least 400 brothers and sisters out there, strapped up, blacked out in gear, and got their weapons ready, and they marching out there. And it looks like the Confederates ain't showing up. Funny how that
showing
works,
up.
Huh?
Hey, what happened when they joined the war? See what happened then, right? I start turning.
Right.
Wow.
They real tough until they see other people get armed. Then all of a sudden they don't believe all that crazy stuff they be talking.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, salute to them brothers and sisters. Salute to you, Carlton, for the show. Salute to the callers. It's a good build, man. I'm going to go in here and I guess fix up something to eat. But no, I ain't barbecuing or celebrating. We did that on June 10th.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to say something.
Go ahead, Chris.
I want to say something for the brother hang up.
Go ahead, Q.
I want to say something. All right. So he's talking about the black people out with their arms, out in arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fox News is going to cover this, and they're going to say something else about it. Their spin is going to be that negative spin about it, right? Because just like before, when the white people showed up in the state capitol, I forgot what state it was, they were in the state
Michigan.
Capitol with their weapons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was more like a positive thing or something like that, People were exercising their rights or something like that, right? And then, like, months later, when the black people showed up and was outside, with their weapons and everything, then it was just like, this is crazy. This is lunacy and everything like that. I expect this to be that kind of thing again from Fox News because, anytime we do something, it's crazy and criminal.
Yeah.
Right.
Scary. It's scary when a Batman with a gun is, that's one of the worst things you can see.
Oh yeah, it's like lawlessness,
Yeah.
Yeah. But one thing in media I'm really big on is understanding who media is talking to. So you can see through that con from the jump. They can't fool you with that. You already see that. You know what's going on. Who are they talking to? Midwestern, suburban, white folks who they can terrify by black man with guns. So that's what they're talking to with that. So, right. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to be able to read through the coded language and understand what's going on. So, you know, right. I always tell people that's a big thing with media. Always think about when you read a story or you hear a little segment, who is that talking to? Who are they trying to reach with that? Because that segment ain't for black folks. That's to scare and terrorize white folks into thinking who are so-called pro-Second Amendment. All of a sudden, that goes out the window when it comes to black folks. As we go back to what the Mumford Laws in California, where Raggedy Ronald Reagan put in, you know, gun legislation after the Panthers marched on the Capitol with guns. All of a sudden, they was worried about gun control and, you know, everything else. So, you know, we see through the con, so it's all good, bro. Salute.
Right. Respect it. Okay. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. Again, quick Q, you had anything you want to say?
Thanks for having the show. It was a good show.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to thank everybody for calling. Anybody that listened in, you know, I'm going to thank everybody. Anybody downloads the show. And, you know, remember, do your own research. You don't take my word for it.
Right.
Let it prompt you to do your research to open some doors, open your mind to what's going on around here. And, you know, I understand that, you know, these statutes are offensive. And they were there. They're put there for a reason, and can't stop at a statute. That's not going to change anything for us, as Kenny said, and as we all said, you know, we statue. That's it. That's an outward expression of their heroes, our antagonists, and we no longer agree to being antagonized by the past or the present. As you see, we got brothers down at the what's that? The Mount Rushmore. That where they at?
Stone Mountain, Georgia. Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Stone Mountain, Georgia. So we got brothers there. Said there's enough of this antagonistic discrimination and just threatening us with violence. And, you know, you do whatever you want to do with us. That's enough of that. We're tired of that. Come on. As Rodney King said, can't we all just get along? Apparently not yet. But we're moving forward towards that. But I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating self-defense. On a mental, spiritual, and physical level. Until next week, y'all. Everybody, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Nice.